This meeting is being recorded.
President Barr, if you can please unmute.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I am now unmuting. So good afternoon, everybody. I am Jeffrey Darr, the President of the Los Angeles City Ethics Commission. Today is February 15, 2023. This is a regular meeting at the Ethics Commission. In light of Government Code Section 54953 Subdivision E, the Governor's Executive Order Number N-21-21, and this Commission's prior determinations on January 11, this meeting is accessible by telephone. You may listen in by calling 213-621-2489, 213-621-2489. You may also provide public comment, which we welcome. All public comment will be taken during agenda item 2 today. To provide public comment, you need to call 669-254-5252. Once again, for public comment, please call 669-254-5252. There's also a toll-free number for public comment, 833-568-8864. When you call to provide public comment, you will need to enter the meeting ID for today. The meeting ID is 161-788-4780, followed by the pound sign. Once again, the meeting ID, if you want to provide public comment, is 161-788-4780, followed by pound. When you're asked for a participant ID, you need to press pound again. So with that, let's call the meeting to order. We will now start. The meeting's called to order at 12.09 p.m. Eric Eusebio is our meeting moderator today. Thank you for always doing, Mr. Eusebio. And can you please call the roll?
Yes, thank you, President Darr. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and here or present. President Darr?
Present.
Commissioner Davis?
Here.
Vice President Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni here.
And Commissioner LeBeau?
Commissioner LeBeau here.
We have a quorum and we may continue.
Great. Thank you, everyone. At this time, we're now turning from item 1 to item 2 on our agenda. Item 2 is multiple agenda item comment. At this time, we will take all public comment on agenda items as well as general public comment. So this is the opportunity to provide public comment. If you have called the public comment line, you need to raise your hand to speak by pressing star 9. So if you wish to speak, please press star 9. You'll be recognized by our meeting moderator when it's your turn to speak. When you are recognized, please clearly state your name and which agenda items you want to comment on. So we can proceed with public comment.
Thank you. Caller ending in 404, please state your name and the items you'll be speaking on. You'll be prompted to unmute.
Hi, this is Jamie York, and I also have a CIS for my neighborhood council. Do you want me to do this here or later?
So why don't you please proceed, Ms. York, and do both now if you'd like. We'll make sure you have time.
So I'd like to speak for my neighborhood council first and then do my personal comment, if that's okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
Great. So our CIS relates to item number 5 today, which is a stipulation agreement with Paul Caress. And we filed this about, almost a year ago, but I thought that it was important given that we are actually talking about Paul Caress's behavior during that campaign because, I'll just read it. Dear Los Angeles City Ethics Commission, on April 8th, 2022, the Reseda Neighborhood Council received a campaign email from SPPC ID number 1425861 to our city-owned and city-maintained email distribution list. The EmpowerLA.org email lists are maintained by the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment, We believe that this is a violation of Section 49.5.5 of the Municipal Code under Section B4, which states that city officials and agency employees shall not engage in political activity in the following scenarios: using city equipment, vehicles, supplies, or resources, including but not limited to mailing and distribution lists, electronic mail, and electronic data. We believe that the use of our city-owned and city-maintained email distribution list by a candidate for office who is currently a government official is a violation of the Los Angeles Municipal Code. In speaking with colleagues on other neighborhood councils, we believe it is likely that all neighborhood councils with an email distribution list maintained by the city received this campaign email. As there are 99 neighborhood councils, this may mean that 99 different city-owned and maintained distribution lists were used in sending this communication. We request that the City Ethics Commission issue guidance to all candidates regarding the use of neighborhood council distribution lists. We ask that the Ethics Commission take the appropriate enforcement action for this violation or violations. Neighborhood councils are elected advisory bodies to the Los Angeles City Government. As such, it is inappropriate to reach out to us in our official capacity, utilizing city resources to seek our support. Sincerely, Reseda Neighborhood Council. This passed on April 18th, 2022 in a Brown Act meeting. I thought that that was important because you were considering, the behavior of Mr. Koretz during the campaign, but in the mind of our neighborhood council, this was not the only violation that occurred. So, thanks.
And does that conclude all public comment, or do you have other public comments?
No, I have my own personal. I just want to make sure I keep them very distinct.
We appreciate it. Please proceed with any other personal comment you may have.
How much time do I have?
Three minutes. The standard time now.
Thank you. All right, so let's talk about the Koretz thing first. You know, this was an issue throughout the campaign cycle of candidates reaching out to us at our official city-owned and city-paid-for email, although the Koretz one really took the cake in that it used a city-owned and city-operated distribution list to do so. I am just really begging the Ethics Commission to give clear guidance to all candidates regarding this, because it's inappropriate. That's not what neighborhood councils are for. If they want to contact us about their campaigns, they should reach out to us and ask us for our personal email, not the ones that the city pay for. And so I just would like the commission to be mindful of this when considering the stipulation agreement before you today, because I don't think that this was a one-off. I think it was a pattern of willful ignorance of the city ethics laws throughout this campaign process. Then I want to talk about the municipal lobbying ordinance. It was supposed to be scheduled today, and it got referred back to committee, where the nonprofit stuff's probably going to get gutted. But I want to talk to you about why that $2 million exemption is wrong, especially to you, Mr. Darr, because I have concrete examples, pardon the pun, because concrete's what got me into this in the first place, of why the 501c3 exemption at that level, it's going to be abused. It's already being abused. The concrete lobbying org, they were using 501c3s as cover. They were actually going around to neighborhood councils sort of portraying themselves as being a nonprofit when speaking to neighborhood councils, and then using those additional 501c3s as cover. And I'm talking about small nonprofits, medium-sized nonprofits, large nonprofits, you name it, they had it on the file. And then looking back and just searching through the council files for those particular kinds of nonprofits, wouldn't you know it, they were commenting on development issues kind of frequently, despite that being completely outside the scope of their mission. But also, let's talk about if it's $2 million in gross receipts that year, what stops a bad actor from, in fiscal year one, front-loading a couple million dollars, or, well, under $2 million. Actually, you know what? Less than that, $2 million, $3 million into an account, and then in the next fiscal year, spending that down. As long as it's under the $2 million, you wouldn't catch it, because you'd load it in the fiscal year one and then spend it in fiscal year two. You really need to be thinking about not just gross revenue in, you need to be thinking about gross assets. because if I was a bad lobbyist, that's how I'd do it. And just the fact that we're even having this argument and that this conversation is ongoing, lobbying is lobbying is lobbying.
Thank you. I assume you're concluded.
I heard a beep. Does that mean it was done, or was that a warning?
That was your 3 minutes. However, if you need to just finish quickly, wrap up, we'll provide that extra time to you. But do keep it short, because we do want to get to our meeting today.
Lobbying is lobbying is lobbying. It doesn't matter who's doing it. The public deserves transparency. And I have not yet seen a compelling argument for why the interests of 501c3s are worth more than the interests of the public and the interests of transparency. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Speaker ending in 985, please state your name and the items you'll be speaking on. You'll be prompted to unmute.
Yes, general public comment and item number 5.
Thank you. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. This is Glenn Bailey speaking as an individual. I do want to say, I want to thank the commission for providing the toll-free number. I think that's been a recent addition since I tried joining last spring, so thank you. There are people who don't have long-distance home landline service, or they have to pay 50 cents a minute, so that helps give people access to your meetings. The other general public comment that I wanted to make does have to do with the municipal lobbying ordinance, and I don't know that it's the Ethics Commission responsibility, but no one else is doing it other than Jamie York. Thank you, Jamie. In terms of keeping neighbor councils informed of its status as it goes through the process, and I think it would be helpful in accomplishing the Ethics Commission mission, is to provide the updates to the neighbor councils. That would be a great thing to do. It doesn't cost any money. You just send out the email and just say, hey, here's the status, and you know, give that update. Otherwise, we do appreciate Jamie doing it. With regards to item number 5, the proposed stipulation agreement with the former city controller candidate, Paul Koretz, I'm a bit concerned. I read the report, and I understand that that there was cooperation associated with this, but I am concerned that somebody who had been in city council for 13 and a half years, in the state legislature before that, has run obviously a corresponding mini number of campaigns, should certainly be very aware of the city's own rules with regards to the restrictions and prohibitions of having a city commissioner host political fundraisers. And so I don't think it's appropriate to reduce down the fine, the penalty, to half of the maximum, which, I think there's more responsibility there for somebody who has paid treasurers, paid campaign, paid professional, and is an elected official themselves, and to have to pay an amount the same as the victim. I'll call them the victim, that is the commissioner, who I think was taken advantage of when they should have known better. They absolutely should have known better. Now, I'm not saying pay the full $5,000, but maybe something like $4,000, just to send a message that this is not okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey.
Thank you. Speaker ending in 838, please state your name and the items you'll be speaking on. You'll be prompted to unmute.
Oh, hello, this is Michelle Gallagher, also from Reseda, but speaking only as myself and for myself today. I just have a brief comment on the Paul Koretz item number 1, I believe it is. Five, sorry. And then in general comment.
Thank you.
Are you ready?
Yes, you have 3 minutes. Thank you. You may begin.
Okay. So I do understand. I do understand the need to provide incentives to cooperate. But I, also believe that this particular cooperation was born of, you only caught me in this particular aspect. So I actually like the idea of not completely cutting it in half for that reason, to preserve incentive, but also say, yeah, you kind of, we know, because we, I mean, I don't need to go into all the reasons we, I mean, like, what he should, it seems like too great a reduction to me. Okay, now the second thing I want to ask, and I don't even know where to bring this up, but what happens in the past couple days with the municipal lobbying ordinance is, it's crazy and should raise all sorts of red flags. At the committee meeting, the ad hoc committee on government reform, I was on that meeting, and it was funny because people were saying, oh, we're so happy that we're finally getting this on the agenda for the city council. And caller after caller, you know, was bringing that up, you know, kind of as a joke, because it's been a year, many years long process. And then lo and behold, days later, we get, you know, informed either last night or this morning or even at the meeting, depending on who you are, that no, it's not on the city council. We're not going to be talking. They're not going to be doing it today. And not only that, they're not just postponing it, but they're kicking it back to committee because of so-called new stuff that came up. I can't, it doesn't make any sense, except that the 501(c)(3) letter, but we've all heard all this stuff before. What is the real reason? It's just mind-boggling. And so I think it's a red flag, and I want to know what happened other than that 501(c)(3) letter. I was so frustrated, actually. I was waiting to do public comments at the Bay City Council meeting, but I could not do it because I got cut off. I had composed a little song parody, and I just want to sing it for you so that we can all have a little fun. Would that be okay? It's like 40 seconds.
You have your 3 minutes, so
please. Okay, here we go. The reforms will come out tomorrow. We'll know who the lobbyists are tomorrow. Everyone on the agenda tomorrow. Ditch those loopholes, election funding sorrow. Till there's none. When I'm stuck with minor filers that can be commissioners, I just stick up my chin and grin and say, the reforms will come out tomorrow, so you gotta take off work tomorrow. Come with me tomorrow, good government, tomorrow, you're always a day. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Speaker ending in 380, please state your name and the items you'll be speaking on. You'll be prompted to unmute.
Hi, I'd like to speak on all items.
Sure. You have 3 minutes. You may begin.
Great. Since I didn't get invited to the Paul Caretz roast put on by the American Diabetes Association, where he collected unreported behest payments, by the way, I'm going to have to use my time here for it. How many people do we think turned Caretz in for ethics violations? I'm pretty sure it was more than voted for him for controller. Does the Ethics Committee investigate Brown Act violations? If so, take a look at the 10-24-22 PAWS Committee special meeting that the Cat Messiah had by himself. Check it out even if you don't take care of Brown Act violations. It's probably in the top 10 greatest hits for city meetings. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Speaking of PAWS, the no-bid contract with the glue that Caretz enabled, yikes. I want to know who the glue has naked pictures of. Do you guys take a look at fraud, waste, and abuse too? Because that contract is laughable. It's like the amount that's being spent on things. I want to know how I get a city contract. But back to easily provable ethics violations. What about the campaign emails that were just mentioned that old Polly sent out to neighborhood councils on our email addresses? There's also the whole Sean Bayless situation. Check out the article on Knock LA. Are there any ethics violations that Koretz won't make? I don't agree with his fine being halved. He obviously has a flagrant disregard for ethics and the law. You know what? It's true now that I'm sad that I don't have Paul Koretz to kick around anymore. Maybe he can run for mayor. I'm sure that'd bring on a deluge of new ethics violations. I also just want to say that I'm disappointed that the MLO was delayed. Ostensibly, it was because of pressure from lobbyists and NPOs. I was told by an NPO at a public meeting earlier this week, it was Monday, I have video, that they run their bigger money grants through a fiscal sponsor. I'm guessing it's to keep them under the 990EZ limits. And you know what, I think that this 501(c)(3) is actually on the up and up, but, you know, I think that needs to be kept in mind when discussing the 501(c)(3) exemption. We also need to keep in mind how deep the support for the amendments was from the NC system. It's not just the NCs, it's the stakeholders of Los Angeles. We're getting angry. We're starting to, you know, shout and make our voices heard, and I think it's going to be a wild ride if the MLO changes don't go through. Also, yesterday I was told that the ethics czar is headed to LA, and I really can't wait until he gets here. Maybe if the MLO is delayed long enough, he can weigh in and show how he earned his moniker of Dr. No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Caller ending in 208, please state your name and the items you'll be speaking on. You'll be prompted to unmute.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
It's Rob Kwan. I'd like to speak on all of the available items in general public comment.
Thank you. You have 3 minutes. You may begin.
Just 3 minutes?
Wow. Yes, 3 minutes, maybe.
That's rough. On the Koretz matter, item five, I'd like to thank the commission staff for actually bringing this forward. For the fine, I think you should give them the full thing. Like I mentioned this before, about 6 months before that fundraiser occurred, there was an LA Times story about Curran Price having a fundraiser two or three redistricting commissioners listed on it. I don't remember if it was two or three. I think it was two. This was in the LA Times. It was clear to everybody, you're not supposed to do this. If anybody needed a reminder, it was in there. And I also just echo the concerns about other issues with Koretz, like misusing city email lists, as well as failing to report any behested payments for that political roast that was mentioned. David Rue misused his office holder account to the tunes of tens of thousands of dollars, and that's never come back up in front of this commission. And lastly, I just say on the Koretz matter, under Charter Section 222's appearance standard, it would probably be best for anyone on this commission who ever donated to Koretz's campaigns to recuse themselves from consideration of this matter. Given this is the Ethics Commission, we should probably be overly cautious here, if anything. And on item nine, behested payments, you see a lot of behested payments for Karen Bass, and that's all tied to her inauguration. And unlike Garcetti's inauguration in 2013, which was done publicly with limits, transparency on spending, how much they raised, we didn't get that with Karen. And she's refused to give even a disclosure down to $1,000. So we only know people who donated over $5,000, and we don't even know how much was spent on the fucking inauguration. If our Ethics Commission cared, they would call this out and recommend proposals to amend the law. For the legislative update, the MLO was scheduled to overlap with this meeting. Just funny, because something we've mentioned before is that you should probably not be meeting at the same time as City Council in case important items occur simultaneously. I just think it's important to note the Ethics Commission failed to fully utilize the time we had between proposals on the MLO to explore outstanding issues. It would be great if your report explored the nonprofit exemption in greater detail, providing a comprehensive analysis of other jurisdictions or exploring other ideas to close the gap as far as opinions on this matter. The $2 million exemption is and has always been laughable. The blanket exemption is just lazy work. There are a number of ways we can fix this, and take them up with fucking council. But unfortunately, the reports are going to have to come back, and we're going to come maybe coming back to you. Maybe we'll just go to the CLA and skip you. I don't know. But there are a number of ways to fix this, and we've discussed them with ethics staff over the last 4 years. I mean, why have a $2 million exemption and not provide any disclosure? You could do a free annual disclosure, a limited advocate, so they're not called lobbyists. That's something we discussed for years, and it wasn't even explored in your fucking report. So unlike 2018, where the matching funds were programmed, when that was going through, we could point to old reports from the Ethics Commission as resources. We've got nothing now. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further raised hands for public comment. President Darr, we may continue to the next item.
Sure. While we just give a minute to make sure that anyone who wanted to provide public comment has had the opportunity, so we're not accidentally missing anyone. If you want to provide public comment, please call 669-254-5252 or the toll-free number 833-568-8864 and enter meeting ID 161-788-4780 followed by pound. Do we have anyone else indicating a desire to provide public comments, Mr. Eusebio?
No, President Darr. There are no raised hands for public comment at this time.
All right, thank you. So that concludes our public comment period for today. Thank you to all who spoke. We always appreciate public comment. We're going to turn to item 3 on our agenda, which is the minutes for the meetings on December 14, 2022 and January 11, 2023. Everyone should have had an opportunity to review the minutes as proposed. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as submitted, or is there any discussion, comment, or requested changes?
President Darr, I make a motion to approve the minutes.
All right. Commissioner Kulkarni made a motion to approve the minutes. Do we have a second for that motion?
I'm happy to second. Commissioner LeBeau.
All right. Commissioner LeBeau seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none being requested, let's proceed to a roll call vote. Mr. Eusebio, please call the roll on the motion to approve.
Yes, this vote is on the motion to approve the minutes for the meeting on December 14, 2022 and January 11, 2023. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Darr?
Yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Vice President Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner LeBeau?
Commissioner LeBeau, yes.
We have 4 yes votes and the motion is approved.
Thank you, everyone. Let's turn to item 4, which is possible discussion with authorized neighborhood council representatives. I know we had a community impact report from the Reseda Neighborhood Council. Do we have anything else today under item 4?
We have not received any additional community impact report other than the one presented earlier.
Very good. Thank you. We're going to now turn to the action items as identified on our agenda. The first item is the proposed stipulation in case number 2022-006 in the matter of Paul Koretz, which is an alleged causing a prohibited fundraising. I'd like to ask Ken Hardy, our Director of Enforcement, to present this item. Mr. Hardy.
Yes, good afternoon.
Thank you.
Yes. Good afternoon, President Darr and members of the Ethics Commission. I'd note that Sabrina Gonzalez was the special investigator on this matter. This case involves allegations that Paul Koretz caused Jill Barad Banks Hopkins to engage in prohibited political fundraising. City Board and Commission members who are required to file a Form 700 are prohibited by city law from engaging in certain political fundraising activities on behalf of a candidate for elected office. City law also prohibits any person from causing another person to violate city law. In this matter, Mr. Koretz represented City Council District 5 and was running for city controller in the 2022 election. The Koretz campaign eventually asked Ms. Brad Hopkins to host a fundraising event at her home, and she agreed. At that time, Ms. Brad Hopkins served on the Los Angeles Board of Water and Power Commissioners and was required to file a Form 700. The Koretz campaign failed to consider her status as a commissioner, filing a Form 700 when they approached her about fundraising on behalf of Mr. Koretz. In considering the penalty in this case, enforcement staff noted as aggravating circumstances the following. The violations of the commissioner fundraising prohibitions are serious, and Mr. Koretz took ethics training multiple times and acknowledges knowing about the fundraising prohibitions. Enforcement staff also notes the following mitigating circumstances. Number one, Mr. Koretz cooperated with staff and saved Ethics Commission resources by entering into the stipulated settlement at an early stage in the investigation. Number two, Ms. Barrett Hopkins had a long history of hosting fundraising events for Mr. Koretz at her home prior to becoming a commissioner. Enforcement staff also found no evidence of an intent to conceal the fundraising event. Furthermore, Mr. Koretz and his campaign, before the Ethics Commission reached out to them, voluntarily returned all contributions received as a result of the event. And finally, Mr. Koretz has no prior enforcement history with the Ethics Commission. Based on the specific facts and mitigating circumstances in this case, enforcement staff recommends resolving this case by imposing a $2,500 penalty. That concludes my presentation. I would be more than happy to answer any questions you may have. I also note that Mr. Koretz's counsel is on the line as well if his comments are deemed necessary. Thank you.
And could we have the name of Mr. Koretz's counsel on the phone just so it's part of our record? Who is the counsel that's on the phone?
That's Stephen Kaufman.
Okay, very good. All right. Do any of the commissioners have any questions at this time? This would be in particular for Mr. Hardy.
President Dar, we do have a comment from the counsel of the respondent.
Let's entertain that. So, Mr. Kaufman.
Mr. Kaufman, you'll be prompted to unmute. You are unmute.
This is Stephen Kaufman, counsel for Mr. Koretz. I'm merely here should there be any requests for additional information or any questions from commissioners.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Kaufman. Any other questions or comments for I call for a motion?
President Dar,
yes.
Just quick, sorry.
Mr. Davis.
Thank you. Mr. Hardy, two questions. First, in line with the comments we heard from the public today, could you talk if or how the length of experience with public office weighs into the mitigating or aggregating factors? And second, just to confirm, I believe this is the case, but we've heard other allegations raised here today. The only thing that we're discussing today is the actual fundraising appeal that happened through the commissioner. We're not discussing anything else. We're not either saying that there is other ongoing investigations that may be going on regarding some of the issues that were raised or not raised, but just want to make sure that folks are clear that there are still, if they have other information, they're welcome to bring it forward, but this is the only thing that's being addressed with today's action. So those two questions for you. Thank you, sir.
Yes, Commissioner Davis, I'll answer your second question first. I guess my short answer is you are correct. We're only looking at the misconduct described in the exhibit as the in the attachment to this item, and that is all we're doing today. With respect to the first question, we do note that his length of office would be that would generally be considered an aggravating circumstance, so that is certainly considered in this matter. We talk about it in the exhibit that that he took Ethics Commission a number of times. So that's obviously because he has been an elected official for a number of years. We note that those are aggravating circumstances. The mitigating circumstances set forth in the exhibit are not just cooperation. That's an extremely important one because we have limited resources, and if respondents cooperate, that is why we take that in consideration in with respect to the penalty amount. However, we do note that there are other mitigating circumstances that we looked at in this particular case, among other things that, Mr. Koretz's campaign voluntarily returned any funds that they received during that voluntarily, before we reached out. I understand there was press on this and what have you, but nevertheless, we do take into consideration voluntary compliance or at least some mitigating measures. We do take those as very significant acts that helps with compliance, that helps with our enforcement efforts and investigation efforts tremendously. And we also note that, of course, there's no prior enforcement history and that there are unique facts in this case that Mr. Koretz and Ms. Barrett Hopkins, have had a friendship, so to speak, and that she had provided fundraising before she ever became a commissioner. It was prohibitive for her. So we're certainly not saying that's dispositive, but that is one other factor in our assessment in this situation.
Thank you, Mr. Hardy. No, nothing further, President Darr.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Davis. Mr. Hardy, let me ask you a question. Based on the investigation that was done, was any evidence, direct or indirect, determined as to whether Mr. Koretz personally was involved at all with the solicitation of Ms. Berard as a having her home as a place for the fundraiser, or in any other part of the facts that are in this case versus others than Mr. Koretz, such as his campaign or fundraiser and so on?
I can answer that question. It looks like Mr. Kaufman is raising his hand also. I don't know how you want to handle that.
Why don't we hear from you, Mr. Hardy, first, because my question was directed to you, and then Mr. Kaufman will hear from you briefly if you want to add anything on behalf of Mr. Koretz.
So we limit our discussion of detailed facts to those facts set forth in the exhibit. I would let you know, just as a general position, we consider, well, obviously a candidate is responsible for their campaign. So whether there's direct involvement or not, we're going to consider the campaign and the actions of the staff of the campaign as attributed to an individual. And I'm not saying that that is or hasn't happened in this case, but that is our position. So ultimately, that wouldn't distance somebody from any liability. That's our general position, unless there's some very unusual circumstances.
Yes. And just to be clear, my question was whether there was any determination in the investigation of Mr. Kress personally, for example, making the communications with the commissioner at the time or otherwise, versus I understand the responsibility of a campaign and a fundraiser, but others, not Mr. Kretz personally, doing things.
I do understand that question. Given that we have a settlement, that the facts conveyed in the settlement, I think that's what we're presented to convey at this point in time. And there's lots of details in our investigations that we don't present in these settings. And that's partly because there is a settlement. So I think I would leave it at that.
Mr. Kaufman, is there anything you would like to say at this time?
I don't have anything further to add beyond what Mr. Hardy has already said, unless there are
questions that any of the commissioners wish to ask.
I think
suffice to say that, you know, we've agreed to the settlement, and Mr. Koretz is prepared to abide by the settlement agreement as presented to the commission.
Thank you, Mr. Coffin. I mean, obviously, Mr. Koretz's signature is on the stipulation, but as commissioners, we're being requested today to approve the stipulation. So that's why we're having this item on our agenda. Anyone else have any other questions?
Commissioner LeBeau here. Mr. Hardy, just a really quick question. Can you remind the commission what the fine was for the other party, for Burrard Hopkins?
Well, there were two violations in that case. So there was two violations and $2,500 for each violation. And one of those violations pertained to the Koretz matter.
Right, that's right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Hearing none this time, would someone like to make a motion?
Commissioner LeBeau, I'm happy to make a motion to pass the enforcement in the matter of Paul Koretz.
So just for clarification, is that a motion to approve the proposed stipulation? The proposed stipulation?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, thank you. So we have a motion by Commissioner LeBeau to approve the proposed stipulation. Do we have a second for that motion?
Second by Davis.
We have a second by Commissioner Davis. Does anyone have any discussion on the motion to approve the proposed stipulation? Hearing none being requested, Mr. Eusebio, can we please proceed with a roll call on the motion to approve?
Yes. This vote is on the motion to approve the proposed stipulation in case number 2022-006 in the matter of Paul Koretz. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Dar?
Yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner LeBeau?
Commissioner LeBeau, yes.
We have 4 yes votes and the motion is approved.
Thank you. We are then going to turn to the next action item on our agenda, item number 6. Item 6 presents a professional services agreement with Legal Support Network, LLC, doing business as Express Network. At this time, let me ask our Executive Director, David Tristan, to please address this item and set the scene for us so we can then proceed.
Sure. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Item 6 is a professional services agreement with Express Network to provide services for process serving, court filing, and messaging services. These are services that we use throughout the agency, but primarily in our investigative work. The agreement proposes a contract that runs through December 31st of 2026 and would not exceed $24,000. By approving the resolution in Attachment A, that would authorize me to execute the agreement on behalf of the commission. I would be more than glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question. Mr. Tristan, I wanted to ask, have you been generally satisfied with the services offered by the Legal Support Network? Do you have any concerns moving forward? And also, do you have any questions or concerns regarding the amount and whether they will be sufficient for that time period?
No, we don't have any concerns about that. Generally, the services that we've used, not only with this firm, but other firms, we've been happy with. And the contract amount, we discuss with internally with the staff and with the city attorney. And if for some reason we were to require additional costs, we would come back to extend amount on that. But at this point, we're satisfied that that will be sufficient for us to do the work that we're currently doing.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kulkarni. Any other questions? Hearing none, would someone like to make a motion?
Commissioner Davis moves to accept the professional service contract as presented.
Thank you. Motion to approve by Commissioner Davis. Do we have a second?
I second it, Commissioner Colcarney.
Thank you, Commissioner Colcarney. Seconds. Any discussion on the motion to approve the professional services agreement? Hearing none, Mr. Eusebio, can we please proceed with a roll call?
Yes, this vote is on the motion to adopt the resolution in attachment A to approve and authorize the executive director to execute the agreement. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Colcarney?
Commissioner Colcarney, yes.
And Commissioner LeBeau?
Commissioner LeBeau, yes.
Four yes votes, and the motion is approved.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you, everybody. We'll turn to our last action item today on our agenda, which is item 7, findings to continue teleconference meetings pursuant to AB 361. So our final action today addresses virtual meetings again. The agenda identifies the recommended determination, which is to continue to be standard for committee and commission meetings, which would be virtual for the moment. And before I call for a motion, do we have any updates on that are worth sharing at all on status of our ability if we want to use City Hall for in-person versus virtual or hybrid or anything else?
President Dar, we don't have an update in terms of the 10th floor. I understand that they are doing some construction on certain rooms on the 10th floor. I'm not sure if that will include every room, but we're looking into that to see the possibility of if there is availability for us to use any room that has that option. We're also continuing to look at the option of what we could do at the staff level to try to address that, given the challenge of the public being able to call in and not have to come down to City Hall to make that comment. So we will keep you abreast of that.
Very good, thank you. Is there a motion?
Commissioner Davis will move to accept the recommended motion to continue the virtual meeting.
Thank you. Commissioner Davis moves to adopt the recommended determination for virtual. Do we have a second of the motion?
Commissioner Colcarney, I second.
Commissioner Colcarney seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, Mr. Eusebio, if we can please call the roll on the motion to adopt the recommended determination.
Yes, this vote is on the motion to approve continuation of teleconference meetings pursuant to AB 361. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Dar.
Mr. Dar, yes.
Commissioner Davis.
Davis, yes.
Vice President Colcarney.
Commissioner Colcarney, yes.
And Commissioner LeBeau.
Commissioner LeBeau, yes.
We have four yes votes and the motion is approved.
Thank you, everyone. This concludes our action items for today on our agenda. We're going to now move to the information items on the agenda, starting with number 8, which is an election update. Diana Alvarado is our campaign program analyst. Ms. Alvarado, welcome, and would you please summarize the election update for us?
Yes. Good afternoon, commissioners. Item number 8 is an update on the special 2023 City Council District 6 election and the regular 2024 city and LAUSD election. A special election will be held to fill that vacancy in Council District 6. The special primary election date is to be held on April 4th of 2023, and the special general, if necessary, on June 27th. Of the 19 candidates who have filed fundraising paperwork with our office, 7 have qualified for the ballot. All candidates on the ballot have accepted to participate in the matching funds program. To date, we have on our filing system 40 campaign communications, and one independent expenditure has been reported in the amount of $45,855. The first filing deadline for the candidates in the special 2023 election was on January 31st, 2023. To date, candidates in the special election have reported receiving $91,975 in contributions and making expenditures totaling $33,964. The next filing deadline is February 23rd, and it will cover activity from January 1st to February 18th. Additionally, we are also handling the 2024 regular city and LAUSD elections, and that fundraising window has been open. To date, 14 candidates have filed the necessary paperwork to begin fundraising funds. The first filing deadline for those 2024 candidates was on January 31st of 2023. To date, those candidates in the 2024 election have reported receiving $330,000 in contributions and making expenditures totaling $13,590. The next filing deadline for those candidates is July 31st, covering activity from January 1st to June 30th. This concludes the summary of item number 8. I am more than happy to answer any questions that you may have, commissioners.
Thank you, Ms. Alvarado. Anyone have any questions? It's probably worth stressing that in the report, it states sort of the obvious, but it's worth everyone reminding the public that the Ethics Commission is happy to assist anyone who participates in city and LAUSD elections and to provide helpful and timely information to the press and the public. So everyone should take advantage of that. Thank you very much, Mr. Alvarado. We'll turn to item 9, behested summary for the period of July 1, 2022 to December 31, 2002. Ms. Alvarado, you're up again. Would you please provide, please stay us and provide a summary of this item for us?
Yes, of course. So item number 9 is a summary of the behested payment report. So in the second half of 2022, city elected officials reported over $1.1 million in payments made at their behest. The behested payments were made by 34 individuals and organizations from July 1st to December 31st and are listed in the table on pages 4 and 5 of the report. The behested payments reported by the city officials were received by 5 payees as identified in the table on pages 6 and 7 of the report. This concludes the summary of this item. I am more than happy to answer any questions that you may have, commissioners.
Thank you again, Ms. Alvarado. Anyone have any questions? Doing too good a job, Ms. Alvarado. Thank you very much. We're going to move to the next item, which is item 10, a recusal summary for the fourth quarter of 2022. We have with us Samantha Rodriguez. She's our ethics program manager. Ms. Rodriguez, welcome. And would you please summarize this item for us?
Yes, good afternoon. Item 10 before you presents a summary of the board and commission members who reported recusing themselves during the fourth quarter of 2022. During the fourth quarter, 6 of the city's 267 board and commission members reported recusing themselves a total of 8 times. The recusals affected 4 boards and commissions and resulted in the need for 1 new review to take place, which will be discussed at a future commission meeting. The details of the summary are included in your binders, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Ms. Rodriguez? Hearing none, Ms. Rodriguez, please stay because you're up again for item 11, which is our pre-confirmation statements of economic interest. And Ms. Rodriguez, would you please also summarize this item for us?
Yes. Item 11 before you is a summary of the pre-confirmation statements of economic interest that were transmitted by the Ethics Commission to City Council for approval since our last commission meeting. Since our last meeting, during the December 2022 and the January 2023 period, there were a total of 2 nominees whose pre-confirmation SEIs were filed and then subsequently transmitted by the Ethics Commission to Council. The details of these transmittals are in your binders, and both of those transmittals were appointments for new commissioners rather than reappointments. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Anyone have any questions? Well, thank you very much, Ms. Rodriguez. Good to see you. Let us turn then to item 12, which is our policy and legislation update. Tyler Joseph is our policy director, and Mr. Joseph, if you can summarize the policy update for us.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. This is item 12, the policy update. To start things off here, we will have another recusal review coming up in April. This time, that's going to be for a member of the Harbor Commission. And on the lobbying front, the thing everybody's interested in, At the beginning of February, the Ad Hoc Committee on City Governance Reform sent those proposed amendments to the lobbying ordinance forward to the City Council. And recently, after hearing from the nonprofit community and some other stakeholders, the City Council decided today to send that back to the Ad Hoc Committee so that they can make a decision on a couple of the details, including a potential exemption for the nonprofits. That's in Council's hands, but we as a staff will be continuing to provide whatever support they request throughout that process. It is possible that when that item comes back out of committee, it may include a request for us to separately report back on potential options for requiring broader disclosure requirements for non-lobbyists who are being compensated to speak at public meetings. As some of the public commenters noted earlier, the referral back to the committee actually just happened this morning. So we'll have more information about potential scheduling and any role we might be playing in that soon. The other item that was heard by the Ad Hoc Committee at an earlier meeting this year was the amendments to the campaign finance ordinance. And those have been approved by the City Council. They have requested a draft ordinance from the City Attorney's Office. Once the ordinance itself is approved, we will proceed with updating the various places on our website that need to reflect that new information. And finally, the updated conflict of interest codes for the City Attorney's Office. That was approved on January 20th. Those become effective upon adoption, so that is now in effect, and that is also available currently on our website. We'll continue to keep you updated with anything new on the lobbying front. We know that's the big one that everyone's interested in. Like I said, we'll continue to make ourselves available to the council and to the public as everybody just tries to get this thing over the finish line. David may want to talk a little bit more about that in the director's report, but for now, that's everything for me. And if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Anyone, Andy, have any questions for Mr. Joseph? At this point, let me just elaborate and make a comment on part of the report we just heard. So the motion that was before the City Council today, which came from the Ad Hoc Government Reform Committee hearing on the Municipal Lobbying Ordinance, included the following. So I want to make sure everyone's focused on this. It was item two on the agenda today under this item. It will request for the City Ethics Commission, with assistance of the City Attorney, to report on a broader set of disclosure requirements for any individual or organization, whether or not registered lobbyist, when that individual organization is being compensated for making a presentation or offering public comment at any meeting subject to the Brown Act. So while that matter did not come up before the council today for official action by the full City Council, at this time I just wanted to report, in order to have the Ethics Commission commissioners be a part of any such process as this issue may or may not develop, and to be ahead of things, I am forming, not going to be a request for any vote, a working group, which will be myself and someone else, if they would like to join me, to be available to work with the Ethics Commission staff with regard to this specific issue as it develops, which again is the request for the City Ethics Commission to report on a broader set of disclosure requirements for any individual organization, whether or not a registered lobbyist, when that individual organization is being compensated for making a presentation or offering public comment at any meeting subject to the Brown Act. So if someone would like to join me so that we have commissioners involved with staff for purposes of any eventual possible report back, you could please let me know or volunteer, and I would welcome one more person, but that's all we have room for.
I would be interested in participating.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Kulkarni, for stepping up. And that's it on my end. And we'll obviously keep everyone abreast of what may happen next with the Municipal Lobbying Ordinance. So I'll just add as a personal comment that, as we all know, this has been in the works for more than 15 years, and we've gotten very far compared to the prior efforts. So let's keep plugging away and get this over the finish line on a personal level. For everyone today, we were, we want the City Council to vote on whatever they vote on so we can get amendments and updates to the Municipal Lobbying Ordinance. So Any other questions? Otherwise, we're going to turn to the last item on our informational items, which is number 13, our executive director's report. And at this time, Mr. Tristan, you're back. Please summarize your report.
Good afternoon, commissioners. As you heard by the staff reports, a lot of our work over the last couple of months has been heavily focused on annual and semi-annual filings across the commission related to past elections, upcoming elections, the current CDC election. We also are preparing for the annual filing of the Form 700, the Statement of Financial Interest, that will be coming up in April. That takes a lot of time to prep for that, since you know we are now in the range of 8,000 to 9,000 filers that we have for the city. In addition to that, in relation to CD6, we've started to receive some matching funds requests, so the work will continue on that. And on the budget front, we'll be meeting with the mayor's team in the first week of March to discuss our requests for 22 additional staff members and increases to different accounts across our commission in order for us to continue to do work at a high level and focus on key areas that we have limited resources in. So that is what's coming up for us. I'd be more than glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Tristan. Anyone have any questions? That finishes our informational items, so our closing items. Item 14 on the agenda, commissioner announcements and requests to schedule items on future agendas. Before we adjourn, does any commissioner have an announcement or request for future agendas? Hearing none, then this will hereby conclude our meeting. Thank you to my fellow commissioners. Thank you to the staff. Thank you to the public for your input and participation today. We really do appreciate that. And at this time, we are hereby adjourned at 1:09 p.m. Thank you again, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. The meeting is adjourned.
Goodbye.